Let us now open God's Word, Psalm 86. A very instructive teaching psalm, but also very comforting for us to be mindful also as we will hear in the new year 2024. This psalm is emphasizing, or I should say, uses very often the word Lord. It's interjected very often. And you will find that then in most of the Bible translation, that word Lord is then written with and small letters. That means that in the text, that name Adonai is written. And that means master, Lord, our master. It will come back in the sermon, most probably. So let us read this teaching Psalm 86. It's a prayer of David. Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant. For to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you. For you will answer me. Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great, and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy towards me, and you have delivered my soul from the depth of Sheol. O God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life, and have not seen and have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. O turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Since the afternoon services are usually also teaching services in which we deal with the catechism, I think also Lord's Day 10 is a great Lord's Day that also can be considered. The message, what we just read, the content of Psalm 86. So let us also read Lord's Day 10. It's not on your liturgy sheet, but the Lord need to provide for all our needs also in the coming year. And Lord's Day 10 is about God's providence. So let us read also Lord's Day 10. What do you understand by the providence of God? God's providence is his almighty and ever-present power, whereby, as with his hand, he upholds heaven and earth and all creatures, and so governs them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, food and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty. Indeed, all things come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. But does it benefit us to know that God has created all things and still upholds them by his providence? We can be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and with a view to the future, we can have a firm confidence in our faithful God and Father, that no creature shall separate us from his love. For all creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will, they cannot so much as move. But the text for this afternoon is especially Psalm 86. And we will dwell on many elements of Psalm, of many elements. The main theme is on your liturgy sheet that we take as a bit of a focus, verse 11 and 15. But we'll also deal with other parts of this psalm. So let us read again those beautiful and important verses 11 and 15, where we read, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." And that verse is thematic of the whole psalm, and you also will see those teaching, walking, and uniting in the fear of the Lord in the points of the sermon. In verse 15, the character of God, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth." After the sermon, we will also sing from this psalm, Psalm 86, the verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 86 can be called a because psalm. This psalm can be read to someone who asks all kinds of why questions. So especially in family life with children, then you will have that situation that you get to hear. Why this? Why that? Why? Psalm 86 can be used also as a because psalm. We can ask why questions. Why, for example, why would you need to cry out to God? Why do you all the time have to pray? First one, because you are poor and needy. You are helpless. Why would God keep and save your soul? Verse 2. Because you trust in God. You are his servant worker. Why does God give you grace? Verse 3. and combined with verse 5. Because you cry for that blessing all the time, and you know God is always ready to forgive. Why do you need to ask God for joy? Because you can be downcast, be in the dumps. God needs to lift us up. Verse 4. And then the remainder of the psalm, the verses 5 through 10, the reason is given for crying out to God all day. And the reason for crying out to God all day is because God is our glorious good. God is our highest good. And I made that as a theme of the sermon. The glorious God is our highest good. Learning his truth, 1, 2, walking in his way, and in the third place, fearing his name. We as God's people, also this afternoon again, we serve the most holy God as our glorious God. And what about us? We already have confessed, expressed that by nature we are not that glorious. We are often forgetful and easygoing. And so we need reminders. And we need reassurance. Reassurance, what actually now then our highest good is, to what we can hang on to. Now we all know the source for that. That is God's holy word, especially Psalm 86. Is a beautiful source to cry out and to find strength and help in times of need. When reading God's word for ourselves or at a family table or at Bible study, and hope and trust that you all engage very much in doing that, reading God's word at a family table, Bible study combined and within the church. When we do that, then what do we hear? What do we hear and what do we learn? And especially on Sundays, you come to church. Now, what gripping truth do you long to hear from the pulpit throughout 2024? Now, Psalm 86, verse 15, expresses this truth. In our dark and forlorn, an old word, but our deep fallen world, in this lost world, in our ungodly world, brimful of the evil of man's sin, we hear the truth that there is a God. And this God alone, it is expressed a few times in Psalm 86, God is God alone, and this God alone is our Adonai, he is our Lord, and he is our Master. That's actually the truth that we learn every time when we open God's Word, when we listen to the Gospel. Then God's countenance is also lifted up on us. And from Scripture then, peace streams into our hearts and it overwhelms us. Why? Because with the God of heaven and earth, a great void in our life is filled. It is filled the highest good. And Psalm 86, as it were, it scoops it up from God's word. By nature, we are helpless. There is a void in our life. How is it filled? Then it's The reference is then, in our Bibles, I think also the reference is printed there, Exodus 34, verse 6, that refers to Moses when he was in the cliff, and God appears to him there, that Moses asked for him. And then the Lord shows his character. And that theme also runs through the Bible. The Lord to forlorn people and says that he is the Lord, the covenant Lord. And David refers then also to that text and says, and you are then my Lord, a God full of compassion, and yes, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in mercy and truth. Look, congregation, that's the truth, the whole Bible through and through. It's our highest good, God's mercy and his loving kindness. It's something you don't find anywhere else than with the God of the Bible and with God alone and here in his house. Because of God's mercy and loving kindness, because of that, there is life. This life after the fall. There is life after the flood. The big flood. And there is life after all the disobedience of God's people, Israel. And there is life after all our weaknesses, shortcomings in the past year, 2023, there is life. God's mercy and loving kindness show indeed that God is God alone. And that is the truth. The truth, the only reality that heals all brokenheartedness. As also David says, his brokenness is healed. And so it does in you and me. It's the truth of our only comfort in life and death because of the Lord, our Master, Jesus Christ. But let us look at this also from another angle. In scripture and church, at home and family Bible reading, and in your personal devotions, what do you hear and therefore learn all the time? God is God alone. But then also we hear that he reveals himself as I am the Lord, your God. In other words, God claims to your God claims to be your highest good himself. Through his love, through his mercy. So congregation, one cannot live without God, without him. And today again you hear his voice. He says, I am the Lord your God. That's a very, very familiar phrase. Every Sunday you hear it, as it were, that it is a watchword of our life. You hear it from God's covenant law. I am the Lord your God, your God, throughout the Ten Commandments, time and again, that emphasis, I am your God. And so, loved ones, Why do you hear those words in all the stages of your life? Because, as said before, on our own, on your own, you are helpless, you are empty, your life in itself is void. Then, while in the different phases of life, of struggling with that great void, God comforts time and again through His Word and here in church, and He helps us. He affirms to us, I am your all-sufficient God, and I am guiding you through life. So for a moment now, look back at the stages of your life. Were the steps you took the results of your own direction? Do you yourself overcome the challenges of life, the sorrows, the griefs, and sometimes deep grief you meet? Of course, you took steps. First, they were wobbly, but soon it became more steadier and determined. You made it from the one phase, a stage, to the next in your life. Youth, teenager, young man, young girl, adult. And then your steps become wobbly again, being a senior. Now come to think about it. Who actually made and still makes the stepping stones in front of you? And who made you take them in your life, through your life? Now from Scripture, the truth is it is the Lord who directs our steps. Psalm 37, Proverbs 16. Well, we hear the truth. A man thinks out his way. He plans. But the Lord directs his steps. And with the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 10, we confess that God takes us by his fatherly hand. As a child, beloved, we are taken through life at our Heavenly Father's hand, as the confession of Lord's Day 10. As he had done so to his children through the ages, he then also supports us. He undergirds our arms, so to speak. And so indeed, as the Catechism, as we have also read, we are completely in God's hand. And so we are directed through life. And so loved ones, continue to humbly pray, especially when you need to make important life decisions in this year 2024. Oh God, my God, teach me your way by your truth, and I should hold on to you and know the way I should go. Direct and guide my steps. And maybe sometimes you hear that at the turn of the year, a new year, people make resolutions. Maybe you have made resolutions to do better or other things. Don't expect too much from your own resolutions. Be resolute in pleading with him and commit your way to your highest good, your holy covenant God. So we make now the transition to a second point, walking in his way. Our walk through life goes so easily off the mark, not only in regard to listening to God, to him who directs our life, but also on the question, what actually do we live for? What do we live for? Congregation, what will occupy us in the different stages of life? Yeah, indeed, what is leading us? Just to mention a few things, is our attention mostly focused on getting our dreams fulfilled? In matters such as spending a lot of time on leisure, hobbies, maybe sport? Do we aspire to bolster our own ego and pleasure? Striving, for example, young people, striving for a position that pays well? Are we trying to get plenty of free time to fulfill our dream purposes? And now thinking of retirees, seniors, for them the possibilities of today are making cruises, building somewhere a second home, or getting a self-contained camper and join the gray nomads, perhaps. Well, those things can come along as blessings with the position in life God has given us. But then we can call them not the things to strive for, but then they come as fringe benefits of our life with the Lord. Yet, the focus in what we plan to do should not be on ourselves, first and foremost. Not at all. And whom should our focus be? Well, here in Church of the Lord, the clear answer is our believing focus always needs to be on our highest good. Of course. Our Father in heaven, Lord's Day 9 expresses that, is our almighty sovereign God. And it was his pleasure to create all things. He also created man to live for him in his image. And so crowning him, also us, crowning us, he gave us great gifts and talents to rule and develop the world, the earth. And then God said to man after the creation, be fruitful. That's a command. Yes, from the beginning, man's task is be fruitful. Thus, marry, form a family, beget children, love and take care of one another. That's precisely why God made man male and female. And thus, in the beginning, we are created in relationships, being different, man and woman, with different tasks. But using them, we need to complement each other, and we accompany each other. What is more, we live in communion with each other. Also here is the congregation of the Most High, who for us is indeed the highest good. Yes, in our life of union and communion, we walk on God's way to, what is now important, what is an important petition of your daily prayer? You pray daily the Lord's Prayer. And a petition is, your kingdom come. Every Sunday, Therefore, we are, and every time we pray, we are reminded of our own work. And every Sunday, we are reminded of that truth of being on a glorious way towards God's kingdom. And here we get strength in walking that way. Here in church, time and again, we even get a foretaste of living towards the kingdom. If a foretaste of that kingdom, of the new world in our church life. And note well, as God's people, we are God's workers, as God's holy workers. Have you observed that Psalm 86 frequently also mentions servants? Even a maidservant was mentioned. So as servants and maidservants, we walk and we live for God's kingdom coming. So in the bond of marriage and in the bond of the church and the communion of saints, we are workers of and for God. Now especially, what special title does Scripture give us as workers? Throughout Psalm 86, indeed, the name, as already mentioned, is Adonai. God is our master. Well, if he is our master, who are we? Servants. I wrote it here in capital letters, of course, and as all the emphasis needs to be our work, and being a worker is a servant of God. And therefore the language of servanthood is used also throughout Scripture, including our Psalm 86. David repeatedly calls himself even your servant. Verses 2, 4, and 16. And the characteristic of a servant is working for self? No, working for and serving someone to whom you belong. It's surprising, even though David possessed a very high position as king, he showed the humility of living and working as a servant to whom he belonged to his holy God. In his high position and with the wealth of all his possessions, yet, God, for David, God was his highest good. And Scripture shows the same serving attitude by God's other servants. Think of Abraham. Abraham calls himself God's servant. So did Moses, the prophets. Also the disciples, the apostles, called themselves servants of God. So they didn't work for self. They didn't follow the way of earthly policies. Or today we could say also, they didn't follow social platforms, social media. The saints of the past didn't follow the ways, the means of the world. As obedient servants, they were walking in God's way. They followed God's word and plan for the coming of the new creation, his kingdom. Congregation, in what magnificent way God's own Son, Jesus Christ, and showed himself to be the servant of his Father. He totally followed his way, submitted himself to the will of God, and it cost him everything. And as he is our Lord and Master, to follow him as servants, our way is, and it will be the same. So as God's servants, don't be amazed that walking in the way of God, we will meet hardships. deep sorrow, even opposition and hatred in an ungodly world. Actually, in verse 17 onwards, David points to such a situation of great trouble where he is in. Now, the Psalm 86 doesn't give us an indication who his opponents were or why he found his way blocked. Yet it's clear that his life was in great danger, and he himself didn't see a way out. What is the spiritual danger when we meet hardships, opposition? The danger is then that we turn inward looking. Then we are prone to give our hurt emotions a free run, muttering, "This is unfair, I don't deserve that. I deserve a better treatment. I now will do this, or I will reverse my troubled situation myself." And it's very tempting to turn to the internet for support from like-minded people, whoever they are. But that's not the way in which we should walk. Turn to like-minded people of God, like David, the apostles, in whom was the mind of Christ, and of her in our situation also, your parents, your fellow brothers and sisters, not in the least, your office bearers set over you. In our Christian life of faith, loved ones, never forget your highest good. God is always near with his love and mercy. Being in Christ is our strength. So be assured, walking in God's way, you will enjoy victory. Nothing, we confess with Lord's Day 10, nothing can separate us from God's love. Yet a godly servant knows the danger of giving up loyalty to God. Often our heart is not firm, divided. Therefore, it is vital to ask God to unite your heart, to revere, to fear his name. And so we have come to our last point. David himself experienced how easily one starts to live a double life with a divided heart. That is, a life for God next to a life for self. And David is not the only one, not the only godly one who slipped in that regard. The great prophet Moses did when emotions got the upper hand of him. Even the father of all believers, Abraham, did falter by lying when he feared to be killed by the king of Egypt. What about us? Isn't it easily done to praise God as our highest good in church? And afterwards to seek our good in something else, in our own pleasures? It feels so natural. And that is the whole climate also in which we live, about our feelings. It feels so natural to follow one's own opinions and likes and pursuing our own goals. And that's all around us indeed. And by nature, also in us, to safeguard our own life, coming up for our own rights, joys and pleasures. Who of us doesn't falter in that respect? Facing being in quandary, experiencing unexpected hardships, or even if someone looks very attractive, but would be indeed a great sin if you would pursue that which you have seen or are after. And at such a point in life, you and I can easily, what? To forget God as our highest good. However, loved ones, be assured. Be assured who God is and what his character is. Confessing that he is your master, rejoicing that your life is hid in him through Christ, embracing a salvation, fearing his name, yes, be assured that in no circumstance will he ever, you might do it, forget him, but God will never forget us. Why not? Indeed, that's a why question. And it gets an answer. A most important one. It is a because answer that need to be connected to the important verses 5 and 15, 16 of God's self-revelation. And that is, he is our living and loving God. He indeed is in all circumstances, he is with us. Our Emmanuel. He helps and comforts us. And he makes a way where we lost the way, and he makes a way where there is no way. Scripture crystal clearly asserts that God never did and will forget his people. How did the Lord keep and protect David when he pursued his own pleasure? The case of Bathsheba and Uriah. For a moment, David forgot God. But God didn't. God didn't forget David. God arrested David, made him repent. So he did. That is, David listened to God, continued to fear his name. And so the Lord embraced David. And now the Lord does us here in church, taking us into his everlasting arms. That's what he is doing in church service as well, with an open word, the Bible, uniting our hearts with God's heart so that we fear him, continue to fear him. Loved ones, our steps in life were not and won't be perfect, not in the new year either. They are stained by sins and pleasures. Yet here we are in church, in Christ's church, in God's presence. We are his people, delivered from the depths of Sheol, is hell, verse 13. And why is hell close to us? Because God is our life-giving God through his salvation work by his Son. He is our righteousness. And because we confess, we humbly confess by God's grace that we are in Christ, you can say, Jesus' heart is my heart. Your heart indeed is united with Christ's heart. Through the perfect Savior, Jesus Christ, we have a new heart. It's a heart that more and more is united in wholehearted service of our most faithful God. At a moment, by God's word and spirit, you again are getting a great boost, so to speak, a great boost for living in reverence and fear to the Holy God. And so for a moment, look back on the path of your life and reflect on all the stages in your life. Child, youth, teenager, adult, senior, observe how day by day the merciful and loving God was with you. He helped you and comforted you on your prayers. Week by week, you were strengthened to walk on God's way. On that way, we moved, and as God's committed servants, having our focus on God's glory and to show God's glory. And then on Sundays, like today, the first Sunday of 2024, we continue to do so in worship, in reverence to his holy name. Together even, joined, as we sang the first hymn, the first song, joined with the ones in heavenly worship. Amazing. In all his goodness, God's face shines upon us. Therefore, we will glorify him with all our heart and all our soul. Why? Why do we fear and glorify our God as our highest good? Because not man, not ourselves, but God sets us free from all evil powers, even from death and the doom of hell. Yes, in God we live and move and have our being. He is our way maker unto salvation, complete salvation. Every day in 2024, embrace joyfully and reverently him as your highest good. When you are young, ask him, Lord, what do I need to do as your servant? When you are an adult, Lord, how can I serve you to the best of my abilities? When you are a senior, Lord, how can I serve you with the wisdom you have given me throughout a life with you? The answer is constantly learn, obey, and fear your holy God as your highest good. Till the time that God releases you from your service on earth. And then, after having continued in learning God's truth, walking in his way, fearing his name, then you will arrive at the everlasting stage. That eternal life in heaven. Psalm 17 rejoices in that. When we reach that phase in life, when we awake, we shall see the face of our Lord in righteousness and glory. Lord, with your likeness then before you, before me, how rich and full my joy shall be to have him, therefore, beloved, to have him as your highest good eternally. And so all things and praise to God and God alone. Amen.